The following podcast is a Dear Media production.
Dear Media IRL is back, and we're showing up bigger, better, and louder than ever. Join us on May 4th in Austin, Texas, for the ultimate live podcasting experience. Watch and learn from your favorite Dear Media hosts as they bring their insightful discussions from your headphones to the stage. Get ready to be inspired, entertained, and watch audio get a makeover. Tickets are on sale now at dearmedia.com/IRL. See you on May 4th in Austin, Texas.
Hey guys, I'm Whitney Port and this is With Wit. A lot of you may know me from reality TV, and the reality is a lot's happened since The Hills. With Wit is dedicated to having real, raw, and occasionally ridiculous conversations with the people who have had a profound impact on me. Life-changing moments, life-changing people. Because on With Wit, very little is off limits. Today is an interview very close to my heart. I got to sit down with Alex Taylor and Victoria Thane Goya, founders of Parallel Health. In 2018, Alex and Victoria found themselves pregnant and frustrated with their prenatal vitamins. They started Parallel to create something better and along the way discovered something deeper that most women just don't know how their own bodies and cycles work. Women's health has long been understudied and underserved. Did you know that the clitoris was incorrectly documented and it wasn't correctly identified until 2005? Insanity. When there's no research, we have no context and no understanding, which as women usually means less grace for ourselves. Parallel is a company I truly believe in, and I'm so honored to have Alex and Victoria with me today.
Hi, I'm Mary Alice Haney.
And I'm Dr. Thais Aliabadi.
Dr. A, as she is known, is a world-renowned OBGYN. And together, we're launching a new podcast, SheMD, to empower women to become their own health advocate.
We're providing women with the knowledge and tools to really own their own health.
With celebrity guests and today's leading experts, we're dropping episodes every Tuesday. So listen and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you never miss an episode.
Maybe that's why there's more fertility issues
that
we hear about
is.
Because we're not trying at 25, we're trying at 35.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The other interesting thing that came through, we have a quiz like on our site and 100,000 women had taken it as of last fall or summer. Mm-hmm. 43% of women that are coming to our site report also being perimenopausal. So you're seeing this like
it's like all happening at the same time.
Baby making years, you know, like perimenopause is creeping, like it's all happening
in the same like 10 year, like 35 to 45. We're women.
Busy.
I know, this is why we're
babe is
all
busy.
Here.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm like, okay. That's why we're here because there's so much that our bodies need and there's so much care that we need and we're not necessarily getting the care or there's not the research we've learned that has been done in order to take care of us.
Completely.
So I guess let's just start. I've had you guys on before and like mostly people know who you are, but just maybe give like a little brief intro about who you are and Parallel and everything
for
you guys are doing.
For sure.
Okay. So, oh my God, how many years has it been now? Well, 2020.
Three and a half.
Yeah, we're
still
going into
a baby,
our fourth year.
But it doesn't feel like a baby.
No.
It kind of feels like a toddler now, right?
Yes, completely.
I like that.
Yeah. Unwieldy toddler.
Yeah.
It's like where you think like the baby years are the hardest, and then you find yourself in the toddler years. You're like, oh no, this is harder.
Yes. It's just like so many growing pains, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. So tell us just a little bit about Parallel and where it's at right now and what you guys are offering.
Sure. So we offer targeted vitamin routines for different stages of a woman's hormonal life cycle. And so we started in the what we call the motherhood category, having products for anyone who's trying to conceive, pregnant, postpartum, with really specific formulations made for each trimester or stage. And we've brought in to support women through other hormonal life stages. So we have a product that literally syncs with each phase of your menstrual cycle. Mm-hmm. So that's for anyone that is cycling. We also have other products like Egg freeze
support, hormonal balance support, sleep support, a greens powder. We've really expanded over the last 3 years. We've added 14 new products.
So amazing.
But a lot of it's been driven by our customers of what they're asking for, what they're looking for, and how we can further support them. And then driven by our doctors. We're like, we see this every day. You guys need to create a pregnancy safe sleep product.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So we spent 9 months doing that.
Formulating that. Yeah.
Or being in the business that we're in, we understand that a lot of women experience pregnancy loss. And that was very much born out of feedback from our customers and talking to our doctors. And what was the response when, you know, we told them how many women were reporting loss?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was like some of our own personal experiences and the people we were working with. And everyone was like, what should I do right now? I can't take my prenatals anymore. I don't want to see a baby. I don't want to see the word pregnancy on a box. Mm-hmm. And so what could we create that was super targeted for that month or two after where you just feel so depleted and
just mentally and physically depleted. Yeah. I know. I think it's so important because as women, like, our bodies are constantly changing and they're required for so much, obviously, for reproduction. Totally. And it is just so important what you're doing because there's just not one supplement, one product that can really support a woman through every single phase. Yeah. Like, we have so many phases and our bodies are so complicated. And so it's so great that you have that, like, targeted situation. Mm-hmm. And I've, even since I've been working with you, I feel like I've done four different of the products, you know? Like, I've tried the conception, I've tried the moms, tried the women's. Like, you know, because I've been at different stages in my journey. And I want that. Yes. I don't want to take something that I don't need or take too much of something. So anyways, I just right now what I'm feeling more than ever, and I know you guys are on the same page, is just it's so hard. It's like once you start dealing with women's health issues is when you realize how little information there is or what you wish you had known in advance. Yes. And it's really hard to go backwards. Like, you always feel like you're the Monday morning quarterback trying to, like, deal with what has already been done. Like, so I know you guys are working so much on research behind women's health, and I feel like Parallel has done a really awesome job at studying this and looking at where women are in comparison to men and how research has been, like, obviously so much more weighted towards men's. What specific research has Parallel done and just, like, what insights can you give us into, like, how little we know about our bodies?
I mean, it's really what inspired us to start this brand. And when you mentioned that your body is complicated and you've oscillated between different products, that's exactly it. We're not this simplistic vessel, right? Our bodies need different things based on where we are in our cycles or what our health objectives are. And we're very hormonal creatures. And so, you know, this really comes back to some information that we became privy to in the earlier days, which is that in the late 1970s, women of childbearing age, so all of us right here in this room, were omitted from clinical trials. And that lasted until about 1993, the NIH put forth an addendum to basically shift the need to also include women. However, in 2000, there was a study done that revealed that representation of minorities and women had not increased. And we still feel the effects today. It's wild.
Yeah. I mean, excluding women because they were hormonal and because they were more complicated and they couldn't be a homogeneous group is just fundamentally wrong because women are hormonal. And their bodies change.
And because of that, we need to know how they work so that we're able to treat them.
Yes. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that we feel the repercussions today in so many facets of our lives. Also, women are just generally still underrepresented in clinical study. Most of what we know today is based on studies that were done on white men. I mean, the most recent example and something that we can probably all relate to or understand is Ambien. So as recently as 2013, a landmark study came out that revealed that women actually need to take half the dose of men. Ambien had been on the market since the early 90s. And you've probably heard about these stories of women doing crazy things on Ambien. It's because they got the dosing wrong. And the reason why was this study was so important because it was the first time that really showcased the disparity in dosing and clinicals in terms of sex. Women's bodies require different needs and we have to be studied differently. And so, you know, if there's an issue with Ambien, just imagine how many other drugs are on the market that are misdiagnosed or developed for male-specific conditions. I mean, this even goes into heart attacks. You know, there's this idea that if a woman is experiencing a certain type of heart attack, her arteries must be clogged to be defined as a heart attack. Uh-huh. But what we've learned is that actually many women are experiencing heart attacks, but their arteries might not be clogged. But they're being turned away from hospitals. So
Right. There's
just all of this knowledge that we don't understand about women's bodies simply because we haven't been researched enough.
Right.
And so it's because of this that we really sought an opportunity to create products with the wealth of knowledge that we do have to support women, but also shine a light on the fact that, hey, we need to drive attention here. In mm-hmm. order for us to better understand our bodies, we need the research first.
Right, right.
And so that's what's really behind our commitment with our $10 million parallel pledge, which we just announced a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. It's been really interesting because we've had a lot of conversations about it. And this was always what we have been doing mm-hmm. from the day that we started. Mm-hmm. And it initially started as a one-for-one donation of for every subscription of our motherhood pack. We donated a supply of our prenatal vitamins to women here in the U.S. And it was mm-hmm. because of founding, you know, story and origin and, you know, driving factor behind Parallel was about, you know, there were all these failings in prenatal health here in the U.S.
Right.
And how bad our healthcare system can be for women who are childbearing. Our maternal mortality rates are terrible.
Right, right.
But also that, you know, 1 in 33 babies in the U.S. are born with a birth defect, many of which are nutrition related. And so that was the core of what we tried to do with the launch of Parallel and having this one-for-one donation mm-hmm. and donating our products that were high quality. And then as we've grown and wanted to expand and support women further, there's just been so much that we've mm-hmm. learned in developing products of this lack of research. And so, creating more structure in what we do of, you know, a percentage of sales of our mm-hmm. more generalized women's health products needs to go to women's health research
yeah, mm-hmm,
because
really
of
does.
Those gaps.
Yeah.
And now we're just kind of formalizing that into what we've been doing over the last 3.5 years, but getting louder about it
right.
and trying to promote change.
Mm-hmm. So we've donated already to date in 3 years, $2.5 million worth of product
Amazing.
And grants.
Amazing.
And we announced the Parallel Pledge, which is $10 million that will be deployed via in-kind product donations, as well as research grants that will go directly to the McGee Women's Institute of Research.
Okay.
And it is a phenomenal organization here in the United States. They are the foremost leader in terms of reproductive clinical trials and research, and they're an incredible partner. So we'll be funneling all of our cash donations to them to support the work that they're doing.
Amazing.
And also, you know, the reason why we want to announce this pledge is this is a moment culturally, politically, where we have to get loud.
Mm-hmm.
Our bodies are a battleground. You know, our bodies are at the center of the conversation. Mm-hmm. And we wholeheartedly believe that when women can better understand their bodies, we can better advocate for ourselves and for mm-hmm. others. Mm-hmm. And that all starts with ground zero, research, so that we can be educated on this. So mm-hmm. we're really proud to announce this pledge. But our hope is not to just shine a light on, hey, we're doing something cool and exciting and meaningful, but also, hey, let's challenge other brands and others in the private sector, others that are key opinion leaders, others in politics to come out and step out and say women's health matters.
Right.
We need to invest in this. We need to give attention. And that's really what our hope is. It's to have others take the pledge and commit.
Mm-hmm. It's really so much like symbolic of just women's rights in general, mm-hmm. too, because it feels like them taking away the opportunity to be studied was a way to, like, quiet us, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, if mm-hmm. women don't know, like, keep them in the dark. Mm-hmm. If they don't really know what's going on with their bodies, then they won't ask, right?
Yes.
And so that feels, it feels so awful. And
yes.
I can imagine for you guys mm-hmm. as company founders, like, the responsibility mm-hmm. that you feel
Absolutely.
To teach women so that they mm-hmm. are empowered, because that's everything.
Yeah.
Like, and the hard part of, like, what we were talking about before is the hard part is you don't know how much you need this until mm-hmm. you really need it, you
Completely.
Know? Like, I look back as 38 years old, and, like, had I known what my journey was going mm-hmm. to look like, I would have wanted and asked for so much more information
Completely.
From
Completely.
The get-go. And I think it's this kind of research that will be done mm-hmm. that will help so that we can all have more success in this arena.
Yeah. I think what's really interesting, too, is that our modern medical system has been shaped by, unfortunately, misogyny, but
yeah.
it's made for men.
Mm-hmm.
And what's wild is that we as women make up half the population mm-hmm. and we give birth to 100% of the future. Why are we not paying attention here? Mm-hmm. It's so essential. Mm-hmm. I mean, we don't exist without each other, and we need health equity. And mm-hmm. so that's really the big piece, too, is health equity. And that's tremendously important in our messaging as well.
That makes so much sense. So, mm-hmm. like, when looking at the research and talking to your customers and knowing, like, the pain points, what mm-hmm. are some of the things that you feel like women are not educated on the most, or they feel like they have the most questions about?
I mean, a basic one is our cycles.
Yeah. And yeah. I know nothing about it. So you posted that quiz.
Yes.
And then I read your op-ed.
Uh-huh.
So Alex posted this quiz on her Instagram account, and it was a New York Times quiz, mm-hmm. right? And mm-hmm. it was asking us how much we knew about, essentially trying to gauge how much we knew about the menstrual cycle. First, mm-hmm. the paywall.
Yes.
I answered one question, or couldn't even get to the first question, and then I don't subscribe, so I wasn't able to take the quiz.
Yes.
So the paywall in and of itself is like, you can't afford to take this quiz.
Yes.
So you don't deserve to know this information.
Yes.
So that was so interesting, and you mm-hmm. made point of that in your article.
Mm-hmm. But it's wild. I mean, most women don't understand how their own darn bodies work, and
right.
we're all living in them.
Right,
and
right.
if we can better understand our menstrual cycle, first of all, just very simply, we can give more grace and understanding to ourselves.
True.
There's times in the month sometimes that we might be 5 pounds heavier because we're in our luteal phase. Mm-hmm. And if we had that context and understanding, think about your younger self, how much more grace we might have given ourselves when we were navigating these moments, or when we have very extreme mood swings. It's normal to be moody.
Mm-hmm.
My
PMS and yes. Sunny has gone off. Like my PMS was not bad before Sunny. Mm-hmm. Post Sunny, mm-hmm. the moods, mm-hmm. like depression, cravings, mm-hmm. just
yes.
weepy, and just yep. feeling like not motivated. Mm-hmm. That for kind of like 10 days, even leading up to like mm-hmm. bleeding.
Well, yeah,
it's before.
Yeah,
this is the part of it.
Like, so
we all were learning about our cycles and mm-hmm. how many phases there are. Like 75% didn't know how many phases yeah. there are. And mm-hmm. how it actually changes.
How many phases yeah. are there?
There's technically two main phases that okay. are punctuated by smaller phases, if
okay.
you will.
Okay.
So to think of it very simplistically, you start your, let's just start with menstruation.
Okay.
You start with menstruation, which uh-huh. is kind of punctuating the cycle. Then you go into your follicular phase. Then you experience ovulation. Ovulation is one day.
Uh-huh.
It's not a whole phase.
Uh-huh.
You experience ovulation, and then that kind of punctuates the follicular cycle and brings you into the luteal cycle.
Uh-huh.
And the luteal cycle is essentially when many women are experiencing a lot of PMS,
uh-huh.
and that leads back into menstruation. We have menstruation, then you move over to follicular, and it keeps going. And most women have about a 28-day-ish cycle.
Right, right.
But what's fascinating is, Tampax did this really interesting period education study. They realized that, or they learned that 94% of respondents don't know how many days are in the cycle on average. And 62%, this is nuts, couldn't identify a vagina on a diagram.
What?
And let me blow your mind with one more factoid that like really gets me going on this gap. The clitoris
was
incorrectly documented, and it wasn't correctly identified until 2005.
Stop it.
Okay. So what we don't know about
studied.
Our body, it's the tip of the iceberg.
Beyond.
This is an SOS. We have to dive in. And even just hearing about your PMS experience postpartum, we don't know because we really haven't studied it enough.
Right.
Yeah.
So of like why it's worse
like why?
Or what we can
yeah.
do totally. But it is so interesting because that week before, like mm-hmm. I will usually give myself grace, like just mm-hmm. knowing that this is the week before, I'm probably more moody. But if I knew even more about it, mm-hmm. about like all the specifics of the mm-hmm. month, maybe these are the days to be more active.
Completely.
These are the days to like mm-hmm. nourish yourself more. Like that would, on one hand, I'm like, oh, is that a lot of work for me? But then on the other hand, it's like so important that we at least know it so we can decide how we want to take care of ourselves.
And on that note, in terms of other questions that we see, I mean, most people don't really even understand how to get pregnant. And even if you're not even trying to get pregnant, mm-hmm. I think it's really important that we start to educate people earlier mm-hmm. in life mm-hmm. about what that involves and what that looks like. So when they are in the crosshairs of their, you know, optimal reproductive years, there's no curveballs, or they can preserve their fertility if mm-hmm. maybe they haven't been tested. There's mm-hmm. other things that we can do to be more proactive. And I think that really comes back to the fact that sex ed has failed us.
It really has. Like, it's just this thing that I think that people now are just so, like, shying away from, so scared to talk about it. Nobody wants to talk about their kids. And it doesn't have to be this like in-depth, like there's science that we all need to know.
It doesn't
that's
need
important.
To be scandalous.
No.
But, and like the bananas and all that.
Yeah.
But like it could also just be about information about your cycle.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Knowing that ovulation is one day and like a boy is not going to sneeze near you and you're going to get pregnant.
Right.
But this is what sex is and this is what safe sex is.
Yes. Right.
Like I feel like we shy so far away from that that we've really limited. I mean, I think the biggest thing in the country right now is like women's health access. And by not educating about your cycles and reproduction, you're limiting access.
I mean, even as far as mothers go, I mean, 36 million women in the United States live in maternal care deserts. They just don't have access to an OB.
Yeah,
it's wild.
That is so crazy.
It's just wild.
Wow. Yeah. So then one of the products that you have that is to made to help us and to like support us is the Cycle Support Pack, which you're, so this is, let's open it up. So this is 28 days of, until, okay, so 28 days of the supplements and tell me how they're formulated.
So I'll tell you how the pack works and Tori will get into the formulation
because
she works really closely with our doctors on that. But essentially the idea is that if we can live in sync with our cycle and optimize our nutrients for all these different phases of when our hormones are changing, we can smooth out some of the symptoms that we experience and have a better sense of well-being. Mm-hmm. And so essentially what you do is on the first day of the pack, you start on the first day of your period and you take, you follow the protocol each day. There's two vitamins a day during your period and then it moves to one vitamin a day for the duration of the cycle. Of course, not everyone has a 28-day cycle, but what's incredible about this product is the nutrients build up in your system. And so the longer you're using it, the more smoothness you effectively feel.
Got it.
And so this product actually came out of the fact that Tori and I would joke that when I was PMSing, horns would grow out of my head. And I think I have borderline PMDD,
which is
premenstrual dysphoric disorder.
Okay.
And it's essentially, you get super depressive and you feel particularly strong PMS.
Uh-huh.
And it's deeply understudied.
Yeah.
Obviously,
underdiagnosed.
Deeply underdiagnosed.
Uh-huh.
And so when we started talking about
starting to diagnose people.
No, it's wild. I mean, people are talking about it as they should be. But what's really fascinating, too, is that, you know, when we started to dig into this PMDD idea and PMS, we realized with our doctors that you can introduce supplementation to smooth out and help counterbalance some of those very unique symptoms that we feel. So this pack specifically helps with PMS, bloating, fatigue, stabilizes mood a bit. And just kind of smooths out that experience for all of us. Also helps with digestive issues. A lot of women get, you know, their bowels
bloating
shift
and
And it's always been like, oh, well, you're on your period.
Right.
Like, suffer.
Just deal with it. I don't really know how to help you,
and
but
by the way,
okay.
We did a survey with our customers. Over half reported missing work or some activity because of their periods.
Yeah.
Like, we're just
and
meant
the
to
men,
accept.
The men on it honestly need to be educated just as much as the women. Like, we, it would help us so much more if the men would take some ownership. It's like, we know all about their bodies.
Yes,
you know?
Completely.
And it would, for so many reasons, for pleasure, for reproduction, for,
oh,
you know,
love this, like, there's been five times more research studies into ED than into PMS. Where ED affects 10% of men.
Erectile dysfunction.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
And then we're deep in the weeds of these stats. PMS affects 90% of women. And
it needs to be like who's ever affected the most gets the study.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, agreed. But
here we are.
Right. Right.
But this product is really amazing. And Tori ran, you know, point very closely with our doctors to formulate something that was obviously held to our standards of being, you know, non-toxic, clean, bioavailable, but some really interesting ingredients have been integrated into it.
And I think what's cool about this product in particular, I mean, a lot of our products fall into this camp, but for this one, we worked really closely with Dr. Biotti, who's our medical co-founder and a practicing OBGYN. And so she starts to treat patients from their first periods and women all the way through menopause, and she had her perspective on sort of the hormonal changes and what she sees. And then we worked really closely with Dr. Sarah Orrick, the reproductive psychiatrist, who treats a lot of patients with PMDD and dealing with their symptoms. And they both came at it from different perspectives and a ton of research to kind of go back and forth. And I was lucky enough to be part of these conversations where I just watched the ping pong ball go back and forth. But it was really great to see the two of them come together of how they've treated women and how much research there is in a lot of these supplements, but it's not talked about. And even just by adding iron for women during the week that they're bleeding can make a massive difference in their mood because they don't feel so depleted and exhausted. But women don't, you know, don't want to take iron all the time, but it's like, no, if you can really target it, you're going to feel an immediate boost.
It's so, I feel that iron deficiency. Like I have that feeling when I get my, when I'm about to get my period, like that flu-ish feeling, you know,
where
you feel like really achy and chills and you're like, oh wait, am I getting sick or is my period coming? Yeah, this is really, really, really amazing.
But I think if anything, even beyond our products and, you know, of course, vitamins keep the lights on and what we're doing, it's just about if there's one thing we can walk away even from today with is like, can we spark a conversation that women all have a journey and all have a health story? I can guarantee we can all go ask five people and they will all have a health story, many of which are identifying that they don't know about their health until they're in the throes of fertility. And let's spark a conversation about how much we do and don't know about our bodies so that we can demand change and investment into the women's health research gap. It's essential. And this is going to take all of us collectively knowing there's a gap and then demanding change.
Right. Do you find, though, that it's like women like us and our generation, our age group that are wanting this? Like, is it hard to get that younger generation to like feel passionate about this or want to know? Or do you feel like they're very like education hungry?
I mean, I think the proof is in the pudding when you look at the data.
Yeah.
Search queries for cycle syncing, phases of the cycle are up hundreds of percentage points. I can't remember that off the top of my head. Period talk is a top trending topic right now. So that gives us indications that Gen Z and younger audiences are caring and want to know. And I think that's the beauty of the internet. So I feel heartened to know that the next generation is certainly aware and passionate about it. But I think we also have to educate upward too. Because there is still a lot of power there.
Yeah. I feel like also the younger generations push back on birth control, where I feel like our generation and the generations above us too, were just birth control was the band-aid for any symptom.
It was like what our mom told us to take. Like
if you had acne, if you had painful periods, if you had any of those things, it was like, oh, take birth control, and not ever really thinking about the problem behind that.
Also, just how new birth control is. Like it first was introduced on the market in like 1960s, wasn't starting to be like prescribed until the late 1960s. And while birth control actually is such an important chapter of female liberation and empowerment, it allowed us to have more of a choice and go outside of our homes and take jobs. I mean, it was incredible what it did. There also has created a lot of lack of research and information there that, you know, we still need to fill in a lot of gaps on.
Don't get me wrong. I think birth control is key to women's access.
And
it's really important
and freedom.
But I feel like it's not the band-aid that it was used as.
No, and had we known more about the actual pill, would we have used it to help some of these things that were not actually like,
I mean,
not that I don't want to say real issues, but I don't think that I would have taken it for acne now had I known all the information. You
it
know what I mean?
It became a band-aid, like Tori was saying. It really became a band-aid and this knee-jerk also to, not knowingly, but potentially cover up the blind spots of medicine, you know, endometriosis, PMDD, all these things that we don't know much about. Oh, she's feeling this. She's feeling more hysteric. You know, it was like, put her on birth control. Put her on PCOS. Put her on birth control. And that isn't always the solution. And it really causes alarm because it shows where those gaps are. I mean, endometriosis is a massive area where there is a complete lack of knowledge and information. I mean, women with endometriosis take 4 to 11 years to get proper diagnosis.
And it is really hard to diagnose, but that means that research should go in
there. Exactly.
Like the blame shouldn't be, you know, I think there's been more advocacy on endometriosis recently, and some of it's on the failings of certain doctors. But it comes back to women's health research. That it is really hard to diagnose and it is really hard to treat. So money should be invested in research there.
And by the way, I think what's really interesting is that, you know, as recently as 2020, the NIH, the National Institutes of Health, dedicates 10.8% to women's health research. That's nothing. That's nothing. But what's heartening is that this past November, the White House announced the Women's Health Research Initiative. And just this week, Dr. Jill Biden, the First Lady, came out to announce that she will be deploying $100 million to support this gap. And that, to me, is the tip of the iceberg.
Totally.
There is so much more we have to do, compounded with our pledge and what other organizations can do. But to me, that says, finally, on the larger scale, we're paying attention. And there's finally action. I mean, to have that recognition from the government of this gap is
so
tremendous.
Huge.
So it's encouraging.
It is.
This is doom and gloom. Like, there's going to be a happy ending.
Yeah.
We all just have to push.
Exactly. I mean, and I'm so happy to sit here and hear about all this today, because it can be so hard. Like, I've been posting, you know, I've been able to go to Washington, D.C. and like talk to the VP about reproductive rights and try to get engaged in that. And when I've posted, it's mostly women are supportive and saying, go, like, let's do this. And then some are like, you know, there are so much more important issues, you know, to discuss. And obviously just like, not understanding the situation. And when someone says to me that there's something more important, it's just like, it's such an individual.
It is.
It's such an individual plight. Like, each American citizen has their own what they need. And like, you guys have the proof that we are being under researched and not being taken care of to the best of our like governments, you know.
Completely.
Yeah. Like, the capability.
That's such a crazy argument, because like, yes, that may be true, but that doesn't mean that like reproductive health doesn't matter.
I know. That's why I literally wrote back to this one person that really got me going. That, and I usually don't, but I was just like, I can't.
So hard.
I can't. I'm not going to try to explain to you why women's health or why reproductive rights is like an important issue. Like, if I have to. That's a waste of my time.
We also got some email responses when we announced our pledge.
Okay,
I don't think they need to be on our email list anymore.
Not a customer. Like,
exactly. I get it. Okay, so you have with the pledge. So let me open this up.
So we are sending out newspapers.
Okay.
And you'll read on the front of the newspaper that we had to make our own newspaper because newspapers aren't covering this. We're delivering this newspaper to the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal. We are making sure that every single editor and journalist out there is aware. And we're also disseminating this newspaper to people that have a platform. Because beyond our pledge, it's about making sure women know about this gap and that we need to take action, especially now. And so this newspaper essentially has a history of forgotten women, how we have been forgotten in medicine and what that means today. It also includes some information about the maternal mortality crisis, which should keep us all up at night. We are, the top developed country with the highest maternal mortality rate.
Over 80%. Our stats are insane.
And by the way, it affects BIPOC communities three times more, and over 80% of maternal mortality in the United States is preventable. Like, let your blood boil for
a minute. So what is the breakdown there? There's obviously tons of reasons, but doctors, like, in terms of race, doctors not necessarily taking certain people seriously.
There's so many layers. It's just very multi-layered.
Like structural, systemic insurance issues of how many appointments you get, when you have to leave the hospital, how many tests you can do.
And if you don't have the money for the right care.
So it's wild. It'll make your head turn. But we wanted to create this newspaper, not because newspapers are a trendy marketing mechanism. We really fought that because, like, is this important? Do we need to do this? And it felt like the only way to give justice and gravity to this very important topic. And so we're distributing this everywhere. If any of your listeners want any, we will send you a complimentary copy.
I'm sure they will.
We just want women to talk. And on the back, there is a call to action to make a pledge yourself, to donate directly to the McGee Women's Institute of Research, and to deploy, you know, any level of donation, whatever you can, if you can. And if you can't, share the information so that people know. And that's our hopes and dreams for this.
And actually, that stat, I think, goes into what you're saying of any amount. But for every $1 invested in women's health, could be $3 projected in economic growth.
That's like, really amazing.
There's actually broader implications. It's not just to impact women.
But right. Yes. Like if this we are actually taken care of, we will be able to accomplish so much more.
Yes. Yeah.
Like we already can do it all. Mm-hmm. Like because we can.
You're proof.
But like if someone was looking more into it and really taking care of us,
Completely.
Like we could really kick ass. And it's like just let us.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yes. I mean the World Economic Forum and McKinsey just released a report a couple weeks ago about how investing in women's health is essential in fueling our economy. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, if we got to just like prove our point from an economic perspective, it's there.
Right.
It's very much there.
Right. So what's on the horizon? I mean, you guys have so much going on all the time. I'm like, how do you even, you have a new idea, like a new, it's really, really amazing. Like
thank
the motivation and the marketing and everything behind what you guys are doing. But what's on the docket? Like, you guys are obviously, you have the pledge, the cycle support pack, like anything else big for 2024 that you're excited about?
Just honestly going deep.
You
know, Tori and I and Dr. Bright, like we didn't risk everything to start this business just to create a product.
Right.
It was so much more than that. And our hope is to just get women talking about, you know, their bodies and what they don't know and to demand change. Like we really do want to be a change maker brand and create a better tomorrow. And that's why we have a line item in our P&L that literally goes to donations. Like, it's just built into the business. And so this year, we're just going to go really deep on that and stay very focused on our commitment and also find ways to support women as we navigate other hormonal life moments.
Yeah.
Right?
I think it's really just continuing to have a product for every woman. Like, I want every customer service ticket that a woman writes in is like, what should I be taking? Like, we have an answer for her.
For every
we can give her
age,
something.
For,
And we can give her some content and support.
It normalizes all the things we go through. To see a product that says egg-free support, it normalizes that experience. Recovery,
someone's
it normalizes.
Me. Someone knows
I'm
this happens.
I'm on the shelves. And I think that's also part of our hopes and dreams with expanding the product line as we go forward and just staying focused on women
and supporting.
And, you know, we do this in service of you. We do this in service of women. And so that's always going to be our guiding light.
Yeah. My sister, even yesterday, she switched. So I gave her my code and she's been taking, she's doing the second trimester. She's been taking it for, I think she said like 10 days because she was having really bad leg cramps and like restless leg.
We're good for that.
And she said she's already in the 10 days, she's already been able to feel a difference.
Oh my gosh.
She says she can't even, like it was, she wasn't even able to sleep at night because her legs were so stiff. And she looked up like the magnesium levels in yours versus the others and was like, okay, I'm going to try this. And she feels so much better. So she was like, tell that. I told them I was talking to you today.
Thank
so
you.
Even like those little things, like all those little things that make such a difference in how we function every day, like they're not little things.
No.
And to maybe to men or people that we've complained to before about them, like they don't really care. But to us, you're like, oh my God, to live with a like leg cramps all day long.
Miserable.
You're like, we care about that. You don't have to feel like that.
But it goes back to, even in our brand book, everything we do is in service of you, her, our woman, our person. And when we developed our prenatal suite, we created obviously a product that offers very targeted nutrients for the baby's development, but we also included nutrients to support mom.
Yeah.
What
yeah,
a concept. I mean, that was revolutionary.
Nobody really thinks about her.
No.
So we have,
forever we've just been thinking about the baby and just whatever we can do so that the baby's healthy.
Totally.
Yeah.
So our formulations, I'm so happy to hear she's experiencing that because that was a very real conversation. Wait, what are you experiencing in the second trimester, third trimester, postpartum? Yes, baby needs this, but what do you need too?
Right. And like the nausea support, all those things that, and even for me, you know, it's been a while since I've had a baby, but science has, well, you guys are proof that if you can pay attention to the science and take the time that you can help women.
Completely.
It's just about actually like dedicating the time and energy, and you guys have made that your mission, and it's really, really doing special
thank
things.
You.
So
thank you so much.
I'm excited. I'm gonna. I have to now start my conception support back.
We got you.
And I'm just. I'm so excited. I'm so glad we could do this. Well, I know on Friday I ended up filming like a little follow up for you guys of everything that's been going on with my journey, but. At first, for all you out there, we're coming out with a video series that will.
It's like a little bit of like a diary, mm-hmm. a little look into my IVF process and mm-hmm. how the journey went and how mm-hmm. it's not really fully complete yet. Yeah. But it was yeah. like a fun little video. Not fun. It was of like a journal each day of kind yeah. of like what I was mm-hmm. going through. Yeah. And at first I really was scared to put it out there. And I was just filming all this kind of like, okay, maybe who knows what we're going to do with this. Mm-hmm. And then for some time I was like, I don't even want to share this. Yeah. You know, I think for yeah. so many women, mm-hmm. and you guys know this too, you want to be vulnerable and you want people to know that they're not alone. But mm-hmm. as soon as you are vulnerable, you're opening yourself up to so many opinions and people telling you what you should have done mm-hmm. or what you didn't do or what, you know, you should mm-hmm. do now. Yeah. And so I've always been a little bit like, how much should I share versus how much yeah. I'm not? But I just feel like with you guys with this, mm-hmm. like I want people to really mm-hmm. see what this looks like.
Yeah. So. I mean, I think, and you've known this since day one with, you know, partnering with us and being, you know, an investor and just being part of this brand, is that we really believe there's this old, you know, Mr. Rogers quote that's like, mm-hmm. anything human is mentionable. Mm-hmm. And we want to create space for that. And again, normalize this very wild hormonal experience. And, you know, in sharing your story, we hope that other women can feel seen and less alone. Mm-hmm. And we're honored to be able to share that and that you trust us with that.
I really do.
And I know that'll be coming out at the end of April. And just thank you. I think it's going to give so many women just a beacon of space.
Yeah.
Feel seen and supported and less alone. And I just thank you. Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes those kinds of videos, like I wait for those. Like mm-hmm. I want, and that's not to say that I'm not going to have my happy ending, because I'm yes. continuing to say like when yes. the baby comes, not yes. if. But so many stories are incomplete. And mm-hmm. I think so much mm-hmm. on socials, like we're going through this journey and then it happened.
Yes.
And it's like, yeah. mm-hmm. that can be very hard and like shameful for someone mm-hmm. who hasn't had that yeah. same experience. So mm-hmm. I'm honored to put this out there so mm-hmm. that people can also be in that space with me. Like you yeah. said, like just
feel
know
connected.
That connected, mm-hmm. like you're not alone and mm-hmm. the journey is windy. It yes. can be windy and wavy
Detours.
And crazy
yeah.
and all of the things yes. and you don't know what's next or mm-hmm. you don't have a plan or mm-hmm. like that's what it's been, mm-hmm. but that's real. Mm-hmm. And like that, and yeah, I just hope that yeah. with all of this, that people just yeah, feel less alone.
It's yeah. so amazing because I do think so many people on social media mm-hmm. share their story, but only once they have the happy
yes.
ending. And I understand that. It's so hard. And mm-hmm. I've been there. And, like, mm-hmm. you're going through the loss. And, like, you're not wanting to talk about mm-hmm. that. Or, like, mm-hmm. it's not working out. And, like, you don't want to admit that.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, oh, I can share the backstory once I have the
that
front
was,
story.
Like, my mm-hmm. plan. I yeah. had this, like, plan of how I was going to share yeah. my story. Because I knew that I wanted to, but mm-hmm. it doesn't, it's not linear like
yeah.
that. Yeah.
And so then yeah. it's really hard for someone who, and you can lose hope in those moments. Mm-hmm. So the only stories you see are these happy endings, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. can feel yeah. unattainable in the moment.
Mm-hmm. But
so it's amazing to share what you're going through and just yeah. keep pushing.
I will.
We're
going to.
It's also just, it's life.
It's
and
life,
I think
yeah.
it's when life gets really loud and in your face when you're navigating those waters and you realize how we don't have control.
Mm-mm.
You know, and especially it's a wild feeling to feel like you don't have control of your own body mm-hmm. and it becomes magnified. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we're so grateful that you're sharing it with us. But also it's a reminder, like, life is wild. And I think mm-hmm. these experiences really turn up the volume on how windy and uncertain
yeah.
it can be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what control we can take,
yeah.
which is like the education piece, mm-hmm. what control mm-hmm. we can take, because there's so much else yeah. that we don't have control over.
And how can you feel empowered?
Yes.
And I think
yes.
that's a lot of what we want to do is like it. Some of this, the education and information might not change your outcome, but mm-hmm. if you can feel really empowered, like these are the steps I'm taking, this is the vitamin I'm taking, but this is the step I'm taking and mm-hmm. I'm advocating for myself. Even if it's just that small change mm-hmm. that you feel really empowered, it gives you that slight bit of control in a very uncontrollable situation.
Like, at least you knew, like you would always say, at least I've checked every box.
Yes.
I've done what I can.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. And we always do that, right? We always want to make sure that we've like ticked all the boxes and done whatever we can.
Totally.
All right. Well, I love you guys.
Thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Yay.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. Aww.
Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you loved this episode. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. I'd love to hear what you think and anything more or even less you'd want to hear about. Tune in every Tuesday for a new episode. If you want to know more about what I'm up to, you can find me on Instagram at Whitney Eve Port, my website, WhitneyPort.com, and my YouTube channel, Whitney Port. Peace in the streets.
Please note that this episode may contain paid endorsements and advertisements for products and services. Individuals on the show may have a direct or indirect financial interest in products or services referred to in this episode.